A lot of our listeners are familiar with the project, and we have at least one Vermont school that's participating. But for those who aren't familiar with it, can you just give us a quick sketch of what it's all about?
Sure. I wanted to try to tap into America's conversations around race and identity that were not always at the surface and that were not always tied to the big seismic monumental news events that dominated our conversations about race, like the killings of Tamir Rice or Michael Brown or Freddie Gray or the election of a person of color or debates over immigration, the kind of things that people wrestled with in classrooms and courtrooms and at the kitchen table and in dorm rooms and church basements. And I've created an exercise to help people participate in a conversation that might help surface some of those things. I ask people to think about race or cultural identity. Think about their experiences, their observations, their perspectives, their thoughts, their memories, their trials, their triumphs, whatever it was, and then distill it to one sentence that had only six words. And that's essentially the exercise. And it sounds simple, and on its face, people are sometimes skeptical and say, oh my goodness, how can you take a subject that big and that thorny and distill it to just six words? And if you spend any time on the website where we feature hundreds and thousands, actually, of these six-word expressions, you realize that people can pack quite a lot of punch into a six-word sentence.
You've received thousands of these, and some of them are very powerful and surprising. Are there any specific submissions that you can point to that have really stuck with you, something that really surprised you that came in?
A few cards have come in around the moment when a person steps on an elevator and realizes that people are expressing fear about them. So six words are, lady, I don't want your purse, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of funny. But when you hear that, you automatically think, okay, wait a minute. Have I done that? When a man of color steps in the elevator, do I instinctively tap my wallet or touch my purse? If you're a person of color, you think, has that happened to me? And how does it feel? So it's funny, yes. You can almost see it on a T-shirt. But it's deep, you know, and it makes you think about those silent moments. Because when that happens in the elevator, you know it. You see it when it happens. No one says anything about it at the time. But it's an experience that we're familiar with. Same with, you know, locking your doors when you go through a certain neighborhood and you think you're being slick about it, and then the car makes a really loud noise, and you're totally busted. So that's one. Another is white, not allowed to be proud. And we get a lot of versions of that card also. And there's a lot behind that as well. There's a Black History Month. People say, why isn't there a White History Month? Why aren't there scholarships that are dedicated to white Americans? This sort of robust discussion about the belief that there are entitlements and set-asides and goodies that are available to people of color that aren't available to white Americans who are in the same socioeconomic situation or who can't express pride in their ancestry in the way that people who have overcome great struggle can express pride. It goes to the debate that we've seen most, I guess, visibly in South Carolina, but really in many other places around the Confederate flag. And that's not limited to the South. I have a feeling if I drove through Vermont, I'd probably see Confederate flags on pickup trucks or on people's jean jackets or maybe flying from someone's home. And maybe that is an expression of a particular point of view. Maybe it is someone whose parents fought in the Civil War, and they want to say, I don't want to have to be ashamed of my ancestors. You know, why can't I express some sort of pride around that? Or why can't I express pride in the fact that my skin is white and not black in the way that someone who's black can proudly wear a Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud T-shirt? You know, that's a prickly kind of conversation, but the Race Card Project is a place where people have that conversation. The card goes up on the wall. There's often an interesting comment stream. And I love to imagine how it's used in spaces that I'm not present, when people use the Race Card Project as a tool for conversation in the classrooms that you mentioned there in Vermont.
How do you talk about racism and identity in a very white state like Vermont?
In the same way you talk about it elsewhere. The circumstances are different. The stories that drive the conversation are a little bit different. But if the Race Card Project has taught me anything, it has taught me that you have to let the audience, you have to let people set the agenda when it comes to a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And when they set the agenda, different kinds of things surface, and you're able to talk about and explore and examine and understand different kinds of things. We, when I say we, I mean media, capital M media, respond to news events. And so if you were responding to national news events, you would think, well, what, you know, there hasn't been a Freddie Gray type killing in Vermont, mm-hmm. or an Eric Garner type killing, or there's no Tamir Rice, thankfully, in Vermont, that is dominating the headlines. Immigration debates perhaps aren't as robust as they are in Texas or California or even North Carolina. But it doesn't mean that there are not stories about race and identity that are very important to that population. The Race Car Project allows you to get to some of those stories while at the same time reflecting on or examining what's happening at a national level and realizing that, yes, there's no Tamir Rice on the front page of the paper, but there are people who nonetheless fear the police. There are police officers who nonetheless feel that wearing the uniform is more complicated than it used to be, even mm-hmm. though they're in Vermont. There are people who are Asian American who feel like they've been left out of the conversation completely because it's always sort of focused on civil rights issues or other kinds of things, who feel great pressure perhaps to be model minorities. Or, boy, they do great in every index of achievement, and yet they're always passed over because they're not seen to have executive material. They don't roar in the same way as some of their counterparts. And so another sixth word, she's just not the right fit. How many times have we heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Even something as simple as that, she's just not the right fit. Let's examine that. Why isn't she the right fit? How often, how easily does that roll off your tongue? What does that mean, you know, the right fit? So it's possible to have a really productive conversation in a place where perhaps you don't, doesn't seem like a hotbed of race, and maybe it's even more necessary in a place like that. But the other thing is, I don't know a lot about Vermont, but I've been preparing for my trip there, and I have spent time in Vermont. I have a nephew who went to Middlebury, so for a period we were going back and forth. Vermont is diverse in its own way.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about diversity, and I actually think as a country we need to figure out some new language, because the word minority is about to mean something different, and diversity has been co-opted such that you get a bit of an eye roll when you mention that. And mm-hmm. diversity is one thing. Diversity is being invited in the room. Inclusion is being actually invited to play on the team. And, you know, there are different words, but whatever word you're using, there is a variety of lives and perspectives and experiences that are seen in Vermont and really almost anywhere. And it's important when we talk about these things, even in our newsrooms, that we think about this. You know, is there a diversity? When we think about diversity, are we just simply thinking about skin color? Are we also thinking about class? Are we also thinking about faith traditions? Are we thinking about gender issues? Are we thinking right. about sexual orientation? Are we thinking about people with military experience? I mean, that's, you know, one of the surprising things for me. There have been many surprising things, but one of the surprising things for me in the Race Car Project is the number of cards who have come in from people who have military experience and feel that they are in a completely separate cohort as they try to merge back into American society. It doesn't matter if they're black or Hispanic or white or Asian or, you know, whatever stripe they happen to be. Their military experience, the things that they've experienced, the things they can't shake because of what they've seen overseas,
mm-hmm.
the hierarchies that they absorbed while being a part of the military kind of set them apart. That's often not what we think about immediately when the word diversity rolls off the tongue.
And do you find that in terms of the folks who are submitting these six-word stories, do you hear a lot about gender? Do you hear a lot about socioeconomic diversity as opposed to just sort of this really narrow view of racial diversity?
I hear a lot of everything. Yes, yes and yes. And quite a bit about gender. And in surprising ways, you know, some of it is people who feel like they're marginalized because of their gender. Some of it are people who are expressing the fact that they don't understand some of the consternation around gender issues because they come from a place that is very matriarchal,
mm-hmm.
where the women run the show.
Yeah.
The women are seen as the wisest people at the table. And they're exalted in ways in their culture that they're not in, say, corporate culture. So mm-hmm. they kind of scratch their heads when they get to America and don't sort of understand that. Or they come to America from other places and they have new freedoms that didn't exist in the places where they came from. And there's some vertigo around that.
A lot of folks are sharing very moving and personal experiences, but some of the messages are filled with what some people might describe as words of hate. What is the rationale behind posting those to the website? And are there some that you don't post?
We don't post cards that are threatening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone is making a threat against someone else, or if the level of betrayal is just, you know, so high. But we post a lot of things that I would not want said at my dinner table. Okay, so you might scratch your head and say, why would you do that? I wanted to capture the honest conversation about race. And to capture the honest conversation about race, you have to go to some difficult places. And so I tell people if they go to the website, and this is, you know, and this is prickly because I know that it's used in classrooms now.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some words that we will adjust the words so you don't see the word spelled out, but you know the intent. So the N-word, you'll encounter the N-word. You'll encounter slurs aimed at lots of different people on the website, and it's done in a matter where, yes, the word is there or the inference is there, but you don't necessarily see the word spelled out. And we do that because we're trying to hold both a window and a mirror up to society and to see things as they are. And race is a difficult topic. The history of race in this country is very difficult. The vestiges of that are still very painful. It is in some ways a deep and arthritic wound. Some of those stories that you reference where the language is coarse, if you go through the arc of the story, you realize that there's a moment of triumph at the end, that someone has, you know, has overcome something, or someone has made peace with something, or mm-hmm. someone within their family, within a neighbor, that the passage of time has led them to a better place or a healing space. So, you know, some of them give you some sort of uplift, but not all of them do. And that's the story of race.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to get around or over or through this thing that we all live with, these questions around race and identity and difference and talking across difference, we have to understand how wide that gap is. Because mm-hmm. if you're trying to build a bridge, you need to understand the span that you're trying to cross. And so that's why we do it.